one sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
May we stand together for prayer. It's time for the message. Our Father, we report now for the highest calling you ever gave a man. And we thank you, Lord, for the divine call to be saved and the divine call to preach and the divine declaration, the word to preach. And Father, I stand tonight without excuse. If I do not deliver the word, I do not blame thee. But Lord, if I get the word tonight to the people, I'll give you all the praise and the honor. Desperate souls are waiting out in Radio Land. And here in this church on this Saturday night, souls, all of them, eternity bound, heading toward the swinging doors of death. Once through, we'll never return. No purgatory and no other chance after that. And I pray that tonight we may gobble up every opportunity to know the truth that'll set us free. Give to us that holy attention tonight and strengthen with might by the Spirit in the inner man, this preacher. Blessed, we pray, every visitor. Grant that their wagons will be well loaded with heavenly benefits. Make them glad, no matter how far they came, that they're here tonight to worship thee. Bind our hearts together now with cords of sweet gospel truth. And teach us to pray like they prayed when you heard and answered. Evening and morning, yes. Organized and institutional religion has paralyzed and stopped all avenues of revival. A lady wrote me this week. I wish I could have brought the letter. She said, and this shows you the confusion, the fear, the disturbance. Said, I went to the Catholic Church and they said I had to come to confession to get my sins forgiven. She said, I didn't think that was right to go to a man, so I went to another church and they told me that I had to get into the water in order to be saved. And I had to join that church. I went to another church, she named all of them, and said they told me that I could get it and then lose it. And said that didn't encourage me too much. Now, you talk about making some rounds. She made the rounds. She's the most confused thing you ever heard of in your life. I hope you'll hear this message. A man drove a long ways across a number of states. He's here tonight. He said to me on the phone, and he said, I'm afraid to die. I love the Lord, and I believe he does. And if I preached his funeral tonight, I believe he'd go straight to heaven because he's trusted Jesus. But we're going to face something in the closing days. In the first place, the devil don't have many to work on because most of them belong to him. And he's going to concentrate on the redeemed remnant. Now the devil, if he doesn't know, I'll tell him now. No, he's tuned in. Sorry, rascal. He knows he cannot get a Christian's soul, but he will seek to get his body, to get his mind, and to keep him disturbed and troubled so it'll cut off his witnessing. Until you know it, you'll never glow it, and you'll never show it. And tonight, from now on, I'm going to give you what I think are the greatest verses in the Bible. And nail down to everybody that'll believe the Bible the fact you can be saved and know you're saved. You can be saved and know you'll never be lost. I'm going to make a drastic statement. Maybe I've never made it just like this, but it's so. I'm just as saved, and I say this reverently, and I wish I could take off my old shoes. I'm just as saved as God is. You say, where'd you get that? The Lord gave it to me this afternoon. That's fresh. I'm just as saved as Jesus is. I'm just as saved as the Holy Spirit is. Now, you know what Tim Leeds say, don't you? I'm so saved, it's pitiful. Now, the reason I'm enjoying this is because I believe it. And I'm experiencing everything that I'm preaching about. And you can live in the land of no-so. And I want to give you the scripture. Let's start, and I'm going to give you some tremendous text. John 20, verse 31. John chapter 20, and it'll be verse 31. These are written. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? The Bible. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Now, this book was written not to tell people about the Niagara Falls or geography or philosophy or psychology or science. No! Nobody can disprove what the book is saying. The Bible is a book of salvation. And he said, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that you might have life through his name. Now then, turn with me, please, to 1 John chapter 5. And if I don't get back to it, let me say it now. If you're having doubts, if you're wondering and you don't have that assurance, I suggest in every letter where I find somebody writing about their death, I said, read the book of 1 John, 5 chapters, every day. Just every day. Just keep. I'll guarantee you, your doubts will be erased by the Word of God. And actually, when you boil it all down, there's only one way to know whether you're saved or not, and that's whether the Bible says it or not. If I've done what the Bible said do, then I know I'm saved. The Bible said I'm saved. I didn't get saved by my feelings. I got saved by my faith in Jesus Christ. Now then, 1 John chapter 5. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, if anybody can know it, I'm going to be one of them to know it. I'm not going to go through life wondering where I'm going to spend eternity. Now, let me give you a great verse. This thing really got a hold of me today. Chapter 2, 1 John. We better read verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. Now, brother, that's the goal right there. That's the Christian's goal. See, he's writing little children. You know those are. That's little children of God. That's not sinners. He said, little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Notice, the righteous. Now that's the lawyer that never lost a case and never made a charge. And incidentally, no, providentially, the lawyer is the judge's son. And let me say this, the lawyer doesn't just know the law, he is the law. I'm going to be judged not by some hearsay evidence. I'm going to be judged by the one, or have a lawyer that knows me because I trusted him as my personal savior. My lawyer is my savior. He did the saving. And he's going to represent me. And, oh, I want to say this reverently. If he were to condemn me, he's going to condemn himself at the same time. You say, why? Because I've trusted him. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, just wholly lean on Jesus' name. Oh, tonight I've got to get the message. This is so vital. You young people, you got to get positionized in the truth. No, the last thing I want to be is irreverent in the pulpit or disrespect God. But I'm trying to get your attention. If Jesus were to say, depart from me, Lester Roloff, I never knew you. I said, I beg your pardon. Oh, I don't mean to be impudent before you, but don't you remember there then? But I don't know you anymore. No, wait a minute. You said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I'm going to make a statement I've never made. I'd say, dear Jesus, if you're going to send me to hell, you've got to go with me because you said you'd never leave me. We're going to hell together. And if you go to hell with me, that'll fix it. When you went in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you don't love them anymore than you do me, do you? You sending me to hell? Come on, let's go together. I'm trying to get you to see something tonight. This is bedrock. This is the concrete foundation. I mean, this goes all the way down. This is not preaching on the sand tonight. This is the very thing this nasty world needs to know. This old doubtful religious world needs to know. Brother, I believe I could look at God, my heavenly Father, and I'd say, Father, are you going to let him send me to hell? But he said, if he says you've got to go. I said, now, not only is he going, but you've got to go with me too. My heavenly Father looks after his children. I'm in your care. And I believe I can say, now you hear me, and I know this is strong, but I'd say, Father, if I go to hell, you're going with me. Jesus, you're going. Holy Spirit, you're the one who convicted me of my sin. You're the one that told me I was saved. I had the witness on the inside. Now then, if I go to hell, all three of you are going to have to go with me. I'm talking about eternal security of the believer in Christ tonight. Now then, let me read on. We have an advocate where the Father's name is Jesus Christ, the righteous. He's the propitiation for our sins and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That's far enough. If you live in the world, he's taking care of your sin problem. And hereby, we know that we know, and that's my text. Old Dr. Jeff D. Ray used to say, the first thing you preachers need to know is that you know. You've got to know you know. And that's it. That's where your text is right there. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Many years ago, I made a statement for the first time. If you can get it and not know it, you can lose it and never miss it. If your religion hadn't changed you, you ought to change your religion. If any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things or become new. The Lord gave me this thought. Jesus does not put our sins in a compost pile and said we'll use them to make fertilizer. Oh, no. He buries our sins. There won't be no turning of the compost. What am I saying? He'll never bring them up again. He said, I'll bury them in the depth of the sea. You remember the old timer that was a sweet old sanctified Bible-loving, Christ-centered, hell-hating, sin-hating, heaven-bound fanatic. And he had a worldly son, just like a lot of people. And that old man would get up a-shouting and go to bed a-shouting, talking about the Word of God and praying and singing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. His boy said, Dad, do you just have to do that all the time? Wouldn't Sunday be enough? He said, no, 7 days a week, son. Jesus, sweet on Mondays, is on Sunday. And the boy found him a geography book and gave it to his old dad and said, now, Dad, won't you lay your Bible down and see if you can find something to shout about in that? The old boy's out there cutting wood, and all of a sudden his daddy's voice began to ring out and holler, glory to God, praise his wonderful name. Old worldly boy stuck his head in the door and said, now what are you shouting about? He said, I read in the geography book where the sea is 3 miles deep, and he buried my sins in the depth of the sea. Glory be to God. Oh, he began to... That's eternal security. And the Bible said he throws my sin behind my back and he never looks back. Now, people will, oh, they'll drag it up. Worldly people, including the devil, they live in the skeleton closet. They like to live where dead things are. The news media, if it's not dead, they'll kill it so they can write about it. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. The wise man gave us a word. Now, while we're going, I want to ask you now, are you going to believe what we're preaching? Now, if you don't believe it, you won't enjoy it. It won't profit you. You have to mix faith in the word. And in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 14, I know, now notice, we're going to emphasize the word know. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. You say, now what does that mean? Exactly what it says. It says if God does it, it's permanent. You say, well, I know the Lord saved me, then you got a permanent salvation. And you don't need anything added to it. You don't need the Pope or the priest or the Virgin Mary or the baptismal pool or the Baptist church or Brother Olaf or any other body. You just need Jesus. He said on the cross, it's finished. That means it's all over. Bible said in Hebrews, when he by himself, that's it, by himself he saved us. Brother, if he did it by himself, then why is somebody coming along trying to help him? There are three things I know, and I know that, number one, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwells no good thing. Number two, I know nothing of myself. I didn't learn anything by myself. I'm not one of these self-made men that you hear about. If I'm a self-made man, I'm a man of flesh. The only kind of man I could ever make would be a flesh man, sort of a mud man. That's all. I know nothing of myself, but there's something else. We know that if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building of God eternal in the heavens. Now, there's some things we can know. Now, to swap off the mortal for the immortal is not a bad swap. to swap off temporary for permanent is not a bad swap. Now then, let's go to some other verses. John chapter 9, verse 25, there's a blind man, and he's been blind all of his life from birth, and he attended the synagogue, I imagine about every Saturday, the Sabbath, their Sabbath. And one day, the disciples said, look at there, there's a blind man. And they said to Jesus, you reckon who's sinned? Somebody's to blame, either his dad and mother or he's to blame. Now, which one sinned that this man born blind? And Jesus said, let's save the theological discussion until after he gets his eyes opened. And he said to the blind man, I want you to go to the pool of Siloam. I want you to head for the pool, go to the water, and you're going to get your eyes open. Now, the blind man could have said, I appreciate that, but sounds a little foolish to me. In the first place, how could a blind man get there? And second, I don't think I could afford to take a chance because my dear rabbi pastor last Saturday morning said, now there's a fellow running loose in this country by the name of Jesus, and said, if I catch any of you having anything to do with him, I'm going to boot you out. Now you understand? And I imagine the old elders and the old Jews said, amen. And here he is, blind, but he wanted to see, didn't he? I mean, he wanted to see. And so he said, go to the pool of Siloam. And he took off for the pool. This is sweet and interesting. You say, how did he get there? He got there on the word of God. How'd you get to the pool? Jesus told him to go and he obeyed him. He didn't say, Lord, I'm afraid I'll run into a barbed wire fence. Fall. Oh, no. He said, go. He said, I'm gone. Huh? That's it. How'd you boys get to the pool through the word of God? The only way you can get to the pool where you get your eyes open. Brother, down the road he went. Oh, listen. My imagination helps me a lot of times. I see him. Don't you mind he's in a hurry? You know what? I don't think he was feeling his way along. They said, how can you do that? Through the word of God, that's how. Word of God will make you run the right direction. Leads you to the water of life. And so he got, maybe took his foot in some water, maybe fresh rain falling, stuck his foot in the water. He said, nope, couldn't be yet. I'm still blind. I haven't hit the Siloam water yet. Brother, when he got to the pool of Siloam, his eyes opened. 20/20 vision. Never had seen the sunrise. Never seen the sunset. Don't you imagine he smiled and said, my, just like he said. Now listen, if you think he ran to the pool, watch him run now. Brother, he becomes a track star and heads for home. Amen. Boy, can you see him coming down the road? Boy, you talk about going. Listen. And the mother and daddy look out and said, oh, look yonder. He's having a running fit. There's something wrong. Get him. He'll run into the barber. He'll hit the fence. Oh, no. He jumped the fence. Amen. And the mother and daddy said, son, what happened to you? Oh, said, I've been to the pool of Siloam. And can't you see him as he looked at his mother and said, mother, I knew you were sweet and beautiful, but I never knew. But, oh, I just want to stare at you a minute. Dad, you're a fine-looking man. They said, son, we're puzzled. You're a mystery. Oh, something peculiar happened. Said, have you been down to the synagogue? Yes, sir, I went last Saturday. I've been there many times. Came away blind every time. Oh, son, said, would you tell us about it? He said, yes, I would. Not much to tell. I met a man called Jesus. He told me to go to the pool of Siloam and wash, and my eyes had come open, and that's exactly what happened to me. Oh, can you see the feathers falling? Oh, son, are you sure it was that man named Jesus? Yes, I said, I believe that's who it was. I sure was. And the neighbors came. They found out about it. He said, hey, tell me. How did it happen? Well, he said, get it. One thing I know. Whereas I was blind, now I see. He didn't go into the technique of eye healing. He didn't say, well, I think there were certain elements in the Siloam water. I believe it was a particular water. And I believe that I'm going to get me a few jugs of that and peddle it. No. He said, one thing I know. Whereas I was blind, now I can see. Well, that's not all of it. He heads for the carpet. The religious organization, the institution, called him. And they said, give glory to God. How'd you get that away? He said, just like Jesus told me, I went out there and washed and came back seeing. And they said, you don't know much about theology. This man's a sinner. And they begin, you know, he said, it's the strangest thing I've ever heard of. You brass hats, excuse me, please. I mean, you rabbis, y'all supposed to know it all. Y'all don't even know as much about him as I do. See, I've experienced him. Y'all just heard about him. They said, now wait a minute. Do you realize that your synagogue connection is at stake? Do you realize that you're standing on some shaky ground and you may lose your lifetime membership and connection with the great old synagogue? And you may lose your religious heritage all of a sudden. Well, I think the blind man said, don't mind that if I don't lose my eyesight. I'll swap my synagogue connection for 20/20 vision. And he could have said, let me tell you something, Brother Rabbi. I've been up there and heard your little devotional every Saturday morning. And what did you ever do for me except don't talk about Jesus? Now just go ahead and boot me out. But I'm going to keep a walking and a looking and a seeing. Amen. Folks, there's something real about salvation. And so sure enough, they booted him out because of his testimony. This one thing I know. Whereas I was blind, now I see. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Romans 8 and verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. 1 John 3, verse 14, we know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. John chapter 3, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 5, 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come in to condemnation. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto salvation, and with the mouth confession is made. Brother, your mouth can't confess what your heart does not. Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively or living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, what kind? Incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which is by the gospel preached unto you. Turn to the last book before we get to the last book, the little book of Jude. Verse 24, one chapter. Verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and ever. Amen. Quickly go back to the Gospel of John and we'll wind up the message. Chapter 10, beginning verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. That includes the devil. You know the reason that I'm saved eternally is because God's bigger than the devil. God's stronger than the devil. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Therefore, I make again my statement. I'm as saved as God. I'm as saved as Jesus. I'm as saved as the Holy Spirit. I'm as saved and as eternal as the Word of God. But I heard you, and I'm coming after you. What about so-and-so? He was a preacher. What about so-and-so? He was a deacon. What about so-and-so? He was a song leader in the church. Look at him. Is he still saved? That's none of your business. God will take care of that. But I tell you one thing, when God saves you, there's no way for the devil to get you. Now, God may cut you off, and you may not live out your Christian experience and testimony, but I just know this, if everlasting means everlasting, then I got something everlasting. If eternal means eternal, then what I got's eternal. If the Holy Spirit's seal mounts anything, then I'm sealed up. And the devil has got a mighty magnanimous task on his hand to ever get my soul or drag me to hell. Because Jesus did the saving and he does the keeping. The man came to the frozen stream. He was afraid. He said, I wonder if the ice will hold me up. I've got the cross. He got on his hands and knees and never did put all of his weight in any one place. And he just crawled across. His hands were nearly frozen when he got across on the other side. When he got across and stood up, he said, "Oh, me, I'm so glad the ice didn't break." And he looked, and there came a big team of tremendous horses and a load of wood on a wagon, and they come a-chomping across right behind him. He said, "Man, if I'd have known that, I wouldn't have crawled across." Folks, I'm not crawling to heaven. I'm going to have safe convoy. Ain't no way for me to sink through the plan of salvation that God has given. Let me give you an illustration. You see, Christians are in the ark. Noah was in the ark. Noah built an ark. He went into the ark after he'd built over 100 years on it with Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and each one had a wife apiece. There was 8 souls in the ark. Now, without me trying to be foolish, let's take a look. Noah got in the ark. You think the boys came and said, "Now, Dad, you think this is going to be safe?" "Oh, yeah. Dad, I tell you, I'm a little worried now. Are you sure the door's closed?" "Yep." He said, "God closed that." Do you think maybe that the boys got him upset? And each night he said, "Now, Shem, you take the night shift. Stay ready with the bilge pump." "No, Dad, I walked 4 last night watching for leaks. Make Ham do it tonight." Huh? You think Noah and Miss Noah laid in the bed at night in that old ark and said, "I hope we make it through another night. Boy, them logs rolling against this old ark bother me. Oh, I'm just wondering how much longer she's going to stand this flood." Huh? No, I think he said, "Good night, everybody." Prayed, said, quoted Psalm 121, went on sleep. Do you think maybe Mrs. Noah got up one morning and said, "Honey, I've been worried all night. I'm afraid I'm beginning to have a nervous breakdown. I know it. I feel it coming on." And said, I know I got ulcers." "What's the matter, honey?" "Oh," said, I'm afraid we're going to run out of supplies. We've been in this thing 90 days already." Husband said, "Well, we got a year to go." "What? What are we going to do for provision?" All in the ark. Amen. It's just all in the ark. Brother, you see, the thing that you need to know is Jesus is in the ark with you. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Folks, I started out to do one thing, and that's to tell you by the word of God that you're saved forever. Your salvation is not a foot race between you and the devil. God doesn't save you, pitch you down in the same wicked world and said, "Okay, buddy, I got you saved. Now outrun the devil, you can make it in." Oh, no. He said, "I not only saved you from the devil, I'm going to live in you till you get to heaven." One day he said, "I'm going to go away." The disciples said, "You're going to leave us?" "Yeah," but he said, "I'm going to send the going away gift. You see, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father." I'm going to send somebody that's going to live in you 24 hours a day. That's the reason I can go to sleep tonight, because the Holy Spirit will stay awake. And that's just like that little lady in England. You remember when God invaded England, about gone. That little old saint of God slept sound one night, and the neighbors, next morning, debris is everywhere. Invasion took place. I mean, big air raid. Things tore up. Trees down. Poles down. They said to this little old saint of God, said, "What do you think about the air raid last night?" She said, "Air raid? Was an air raid? Why, I guess there was an air raid last night. Like to tore us apart. Man, didn't you hear all that?" "Nope." Said, "Last Sunday, my preacher told me that God never blinked an eye. And I made up my mind, no need both of us staying awake all night. That's it. Brother, he not only saves you, he keeps you. How wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. How wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a thirsty man. He covers me there his hand, and covers me there with his hand. Oh, a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He taketh this old sin burden all away, and he holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He
hideth my soul.
Whereabouts are you hiding tonight?
In the breath of the rock.
That shadows.
First
the lamb. Hideth. In the depths of his love.
In the depths of his love.
Covers me there. He's not an amputee tonight. He can hold you. And
thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar Program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar Program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.